So happy to welcome back to the program the president of the Adams Presidential Center here in Quincy. Dr. Kirk Graham is joining us for an update on their 2026 calendar and beyond. So, Dr., great to see you again. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, it's been about a year and a half, I think, for you now at this position.
Yeah, coming up. Yeah.
How's it going for you?
It's great. It's a great community. It's a great project. I think we've got some good things going. I think we're starting to get some real traction.
Let's talk a little bit, for folks who don't know, I always like to kind of take it back to the beginning.
Sure.
What is the Adams Presidential Center?
Well, great question. The Adams Presidential Center is dedicated to the legacies of John and John Quincy Adams and their families. So we are just as interested in Abigail and Louisa Catherine as we are in John and John Quincy. And the incredible contribution this family made. And it's really quite startling when you stop and realize there has been nothing done on this scale for the Adams. You know, we have Mount Vernon, we have for George Washington, we have Monticello, Thomas Jefferson, we have Montpelier for Madison. We have the presidential library system in the 20th century, starting with Hoover, going up to the present day for presidents. And of course, there's the Lincoln Place, there's stuff for Teddy Roosevelt and boyhood homes and all kinds of presidential sites. And of course, we have Peace Field and we have the birth homes and things here in Quincy, as everyone knows. But there's never really been a library, a museum, a center focused on what it is that the Adams did for our country in not just helping to create what became the United States, but giving us a cause, giving us a purpose and a reason, but also in leading that effort, both John Adams and, of course, John Quincy and all that he did later in his life. He becomes essentially our first civil rights president. When you think about the contribution to American culture and where we are today, we would not be in the favorable position that we're in as a nation, but for John and John Quincy. So I think it's really appropriate that this community is going to embrace building a center that will have a national reputation, that will hopefully burnish the reputations of the two Adams.
Sure. Yeah, we heard the mayor in his State of the City address just a couple of months ago speak about the hopes for creating a combined Adams Presidential Center and Performing Arts Center in one, right in Quincy Center. Yeah. So what is being done at your level to kind of achieve that goal?
Well, I mean, I think it's a very important goal, and I think, the mayor, the city, have been huge advocates for something like the Adams Presidential Center, and this notion of combining it with a performing arts center, I think makes it more of a cultural attraction, and I think it increases the economic impact for the city. So I think it becomes hopefully a real feather in our cultural cap, in terms of being able to draw people here, and in terms of elevating the value of the community. You know, communities that invest in museums and libraries and public square spaces, performing arts centers, those things have a huge impact on the quality of life in a community. And it makes it the kind of place you want to raise your kids, right? I mean, having city parks, having rec centers, having these kinds of things, these are all, in addition to a great school system, these are the elements, the building blocks for a great community that people want to live in. And I think the Adams Presidential Center together with a performing arts center is a great recipe for that very kind of thing. Not just to bring tourists here, but to enhance the quality of life for the people who already live here. So I think, I'm very, very bullish on this community. I think it's a great, I think people have a real appreciation for the history that went on here. I mean, this town has a lot of history beyond the Adams, but certainly their contribution to the city, to the state, and to the nation is unparalleled.
Yeah, the mayor has talked about the city would provide kind of the infrastructure, if you will, the shell, the building itself, but the Adams Presidential Center would be responsible for the actual center, the content, I guess, the program, the exhibit.
Right.
So logistically, are things that being done now to achieve that goal?
Oh, most certainly, yes. Yeah. We're in the thick of planning around what our program will look like in, regardless of the physical space.
Right. I mean,
we have a story to tell.
Right.
We're putting together the arc of that narrative. You know, what are the things we want to highlight about the Adams? What do we think it's important for people to know? And then, when you think about a center, like a presidential center, there's a lot to be worked out, right? If you're going to have exhibit galleries, how big, how much space do you need? How many classrooms do you need mm-hmm. to do the kind of educational program and outreach that you want to do? What kind of auditorium or space do you need for these sort of public square events right. where you want to bring people in? We have a slate of great programs that we've already been doing. We've been doing at the high school. We'll talk about some things that are coming up, I know, in a minute. But so we haven't to date been hampered by the fact that we are sort of without a permanent facility, because we want to get out and have people know that, no, we have a message, we have a program, but it's going to be so much stronger when we can root that in a place and sure. have a physical location. So we're very excited, we're very grateful to this community for its interest in what we're doing. And I speak to different groups, and I'm around town, and it's always it's great to be in a business where the stuff you're doing is received well and positively. Because nobody has come up to me and said, this Adams thing, that's a dumb idea. Why would you honor John and John Quincy Adams? I mean, everybody says it's about time.
Yeah.
You know, we need to do this. And we talk about our specific programs. People say, wow, that sounds so interesting. That sounds so needed. That sounds so helpful. So I'm very proud of our team and our board and the work that we're doing. And we look forward and we're very hopeful about a potential partnership with the city, with the Performing Arts Center. We see ourselves as an important player on the cultural landscape of the city of Quincy, and we only think that's going to get stronger as time goes on.
How do you think the Adams would react to such a center? Were they aficionados of the performing arts?
Well, it's interesting. John, probably not so much.
Okay.
but what's interesting is Louisa Catherine Adams, yes. who is the one of our four protagonists that we probably speak the least about,
sure.
or that people know the least about, was an incredibly important figure. Not only was she very politically astute, and John Quincy would have never been president without her.
I've heard that many times.
And her understanding of just the political landscape and how to navigate things, she was very shrewd in that way.
Yeah.
Our first foreign-born first lady,
right.
you know, as well.
Yeah.
And yet, so it's remarkable that she's, you know, she's sort of raised in England in a mm-hmm. in the, you know, upper middle mm-hmm. middle classes, so she knew a lot about the court and the aristocracy and things, but she comes here and she has almost an immediate understanding of the American political mm-hmm. landscape. It's really quite remarkable to think, not just she understood it, but given where she came from,
right.
makes it all the more remarkable. But in her role as First Lady, she was one of the first ladies to really champion the public arts. And so I think that a performing arts center linked to the Adams Presidential Center, I don't think that's a stretch. Mm-hmm. I think it really makes sense from the Adams perspective, especially it gives us a chance to hopefully, my hope for this is that we can highlight Louisa Catherine
yes,
in that mix and say that, you know, the arts and the performing arts are an important part of our civil and civic society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are the better for having those things and those performances, whether it's, you know, summer Shakespeare in the Park type things, whether it's you know, plays or musicals or musical performances of groups that are touring, that brings something to a community that you don't have. I mean, people will travel to see these things, but it's so nice to have something like that, a performing arts center in your own community. And
yeah.
I think any city of this size that is really interested in its future, I think, is looking at these kinds of things. And I think we have such a unique opportunity here. The Adams story is unlike any other.
Hmm.
You know, we talk about it all the time. It's the one founding legacy not tainted by slavery. John Adams is responsible really for constitutionalism as we understand it, democratic constitutionalism. And I mean, these are major, major contributions to what becomes the American experiment. So I think to celebrate that right here in their hometown and then export that to the world is a very worthy goal.
Yeah. So pending the approval and creation of this actual physical
mm-hmm.
center,
mm-hmm.
would the Adams Presidential Center need to expand its staff, you know, its background?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, over time. I mean, we've been expanding our staff
sure.
over the last year or so, but certainly, you know, It is important to have a home base.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to have a center that gives you legitimacy. That's a springboard
mm-hmm.
that we can use to launch our programs from. So we definitely need to have a physical presence here in the city of their birth and of their life. But we fully understand that we will never be able to bring the nation to Quincy completely, as thoroughly as we want to. But we can take Quincy to the nation. And so we are very much focused on a national agenda. We, you know, we do teacher training programs. We do leader emerging leadership programs. We go out. In fact, this summer we have a part. This year at America 250, we have a partnership with Monticello, where we are going to other primarily presidential libraries across the country, and we're doing a Founding Friends, Founding Foes program around the Adams-Jefferson relationship, taking that to audiences all across the country. But while we're there, we're also going to spend a day training local teachers about civics and history and why the revolution in this period and the Adams in particular matter. So I think we really are already expanding our reach in ways that are quite remarkable.
Does there need to be a monument on the National Mall, do you think, to the
Adamses? Well, it's interesting. There's a group, as you know, that is working on that. I've been working with them. I've spoken at a couple of their events. We're doing a joint fundraiser together in the summer in Washington, D.C. That has some momentum. I mean, that's been tried before. I know our friend David McCullough even tried that for years, and he was very much a proponent of it. It's looking like there could, and again, I'm not an insider on this. This is all public information, but it's looking like there will be something on the Ellipse near the White House, and you know, near the Lincoln and Washington monuments as well. I don't know. I haven't seen designs. I don't know exactly what is involved in that. But there's a group of people, and it's really interesting. It's a bipartisan. One of the rare bipartisan sort of agreement things, you know, a Congressman Lynch here locally is on that committee, and there are other, there's a congressman, a Republican congressman from, I believe it's Michigan, that is on this, and there are two or three other members of Congress, but also a lot of other, you know, philanthropists and people who say, you know, it's time. We need to honor the Adams in this way, and having a statement on the Mall in Washington that tourists, you know, people come to the Capitol from all over the world, but certainly from all over the country, to celebrate our history and our government, and having the Adams represented there, I think, is very important. And we don't, that, by the way, from the Adams Presidential Center perspective, that is not a competition. In fact, I mean, the reason I'm involved in sort of helping to promote that with them, in what little ways I can, I think it's important, because anything that augments the Adams reputation is in our best interest.
I was going to ask you if it would inspire folks to maybe come to Quincy.
Absolutely. Sure. And every time I speak there, I say to them, you know, we're doing something in the nation's capital and we're doing something in the Adams hometown.
Right.
And those two things together, coming together at the same time, I think are very important, because, you know, absolutely we want to be a part of getting their reputation out there in any way that we can. And I think that this is that monument, I hope, you know, it comes together as they're planning. It's got a lot of momentum.
Yeah. You mentioned America 250 this year, right, 2026.
Right.
What is the Adams Presidential Center doing to mark that?
Well, you know, this Founding Friends, Founding Foes tour is a big part of a big part of that. And we will, between the, and I'll talk about the teacher training that we're doing here in Quincy in just a moment, but between the teacher institute that we're holding here in Quincy and the workshops that we're doing out in at the other presidential libraries, we will hit a goal of training 250 teachers in America 250 to be able to, you know, have this curriculum in the classroom. We have two cohorts of teachers coming to Quincy later in the summer, where there will be site specific things, visiting not just the birth homes in Peacefield, but also obviously the revolutionary sites in Boston, Concord, Lexington, that kind of thing. But really immersing them in the unique contributions of John Adams around the Declaration and around this 250 moment. So we hope that teachers will go back understanding a lot more about the Revolutionary era and why it's so important to ground students in that understanding of that history. So certainly, the Adams Presidential Center is at its core an educational institution. So we do that by training the trainers, educating educators, but we also do that by getting curriculum and training directly to students. Mm-hmm. So we're really taking a multi-pronged approach to trying to make sure that we are moving the needle when it comes to not just enhancing the story of the Adams, but enhancing the quality and the caliber of civics education and history instruction in our schools. And then, of course, always trying to promote the APC brand while we're at it.
Sure, sure. How were those teachers chosen, Doctor, to participate in?
You know, that's a great, yeah, what I'm really very proud of, so we have another program, let me just mention quickly,
sure.
An Emerging Leaders Program that we're bringing some young students, college age 18 to, most of them are like 20 to 25,
okay.
that will be coming this summer for a pilot program on leadership as well, based on the Adams. These two programs have never been run before.
Hmm.
These are nascent, you know, brand new programs here, and they will be coming to Quincy. They'll be spending a week. Each of the cohorts will be here for a week with our staff, and some guest historians and lecturers. The program has never been run, but we have applicants from all states, all 50 states
really?
Represented. I think we're at 48 right now, and I think we have some coming in from two more states. But the point is that this has never been done,
yeah.
and we already have a network of people interested enough in what we're doing that we have people coming from all 50 states to participate in one or the other of these programs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And these programs, we've received some very impressive grants. People say, well, what are you doing? Are you raising any money? Well, we have $2 million worth of grants to support the teacher training and the emerging leaders that will run over the next 3 years. So we are locked in to run these programs and to scale up these programs dramatically
mm-hmm.
over the next 3 years with external grant funding. And of course, you know, when we talk about economic impact,
yes.
we're bringing these people to Quincy.
Yes.
You know, they'll be in hotel rooms here, we'll be eating in restaurants here, we'll be, you know, using local tour bus companies
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing
mm-hmm.
to get people around. This money that we have received, these grants we've received, will all be spent right here,
mm-hmm.
you know, in bringing people here to do this, to do these trainings and these workshops. So, you know, very proud of the fact that we already have a national enough footprint that we can garner that kind of interest and that we can garner that kind of support in terms of funding as well.
Yeah.
I mean, $2 million worth of external funding is not a small matter for an organization our size.
Right, and where will those courses be held? Just in
right,
the
right here.
In
yeah,
the
right here. Oh, yeah. Well, distributed around. They'll be at different. I mean, the actual workshops will
yeah.
be held at different sites,
mm-hmm.
but it will all be here in the area.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say to you about the importance of the Adamses to these folks who are participating?
Well, it tells me that there is, in fact, a palpable and legitimate hunger for the kinds of things that we're producing.
Sure. Let's talk about some upcoming events, shall
yeah,
we?
Yeah, please.
And
good
the first
stuff
one
on the
is
horizon.
Yeah, March 31st at the Woodward School for Girls. Actually,
yes.
You yourself will be putting on a presentation regarding Abigail Adams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is great. We have some guests coming to have a panel, and the students, the girls at the Woodward School, will be also participating in this program.
Oh, okay.
I hope people will sign up and come to this. This is March 31st is the exact day, the 250th anniversary of Abigail Adams writing that famous letter, Remember the Ladies.
Okay.
John's down to the Congress and they're getting ready for independence.
Yes.
And, you know, she called it, you know, I hope things will go well for independency. That was her phrase. But she said, you know, as you create this government, remember the ladies and you know, the letter, and the girls are going to recite that letter.
Oh.
They've done a video about Abigail.
Oh, really?
And we have a distinguished scholar, Diana Carlin, coming in. She wrote, co-wrote with a couple of others, the book on the First Ladies. I mean, a comprehensive book, a textbook
oh, okay.
on
oh, a
all
textbook.
Of the First Ladies.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's a textbook and then a general public book. They did two.
Oh, I see.
But it's... And she's a great storyteller. She knows a lot about Abigail Adams. And then we have a woman who hosts the podcast Benjamin Franklin's World, and she's going to be here.
Liz Covart.
She's going to be here to interview Diana, and they're going to have a conversation,
okay.
a podcast style conversation on stage about that letter and the context for it, and you know, John's response to it, and all
yeah.
the there's a rich history around that. And they're very well qualified to put that out. So I think it's going to be a great, and I'm so excited that this is going to be at the Woodward School. There's an Adams tie to the school, as you know,
sure.
the family that started that tied to the Adams. But also, To do this at a girls' school on the 250th of the Remember the Ladies, I think is wonderful. You know, Alex and his team over there have been just so welcoming and so fantastic to work with. And I think it's important, again, another very important local institution here in Quincy. And we support all that they're doing and anything we can do to kind of bring a spotlight over there. So I hope that your viewing audience will go on our website and sign up for that. It's a free event, but we do ask for an RSVP just so we can gauge how many people are going to be there.
Sure.
But we're hoping that seeing the girls do what they're going to do, the students, their participation, and then this will be a top flight program with Liz and Diana.
Again, Tuesday, March 31st, 5 p.m. check-in. Mm-hmm. The program runs 5:30 to 7 p.m. free. Mm-hmm. TheAdamsPresidentialCenter.org is the website that you mentioned to sign up for that.
Yeah.
I did want to read just a longer quote of the famous letter.
Please.
Because I think
it's great.
It is great.
Yeah.
And I don't think folks have heard the whole quote. We hear Remember the Ladies all the time.
Yeah.
It's easy to paraphrase. But quote, this is Abigail writing to John, right?
Yeah.
At the Continental Gathering in Philadelphia, right? Mm-hmm. Quote, in the new code of laws, I desire you would remember the ladies and be more generous and favorable to them than your ancestors. Do not put such unlimited power into the hands of the husbands. Remember, all men would be tyrants if they could, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's funny, we remember the ladies quote.
Sure.
But I almost think we'd be better off to remember that all men would be tyrants. I mean, I think that could be more more catchy in some ways and maybe a little more thought-provoking in some ways.
Yeah, I was just curious what her experience was with men that, prompted that feeling from her.
Yeah. Well, no, it's interesting. I think they had a wonderful marriage. John and Abigail, I mean, that really is one for the ages. I mean, it was a very, and they spent a lot of time apart, and so we have a window into their marriage because of the vast correspondence that they have back and forth.
Because it's famous.
So there are periods of their life we don't know as much about them because they were together.
Right.
And so we don't have those. We don't have the letters back and forth because they were obviously just having conversations.
Right.
Right. But it's, I think that Abigail, here's a woman who is amassing a fortune, I mean, contributing to her family's fortune by buying and selling property at a time when women weren't even legally allowed to own property. I mean, she's a force of nature. I mean, she's something very unique. And I don't know that, I don't know that she had a bad experience, with her father or with any other
man in her life.
No, I don't think that should be read into the letter. That she had bad experiences with men, other than, this is maybe when women are starting to feel like a little bit of a patriarchal oppression in terms of like, we're a part of this too.
Mm.
And there were some advances. I mean, a lot of, African Americans, a lot of other groups made temporary advancements with the revolution, and then those were sort of dialed back in some ways. And I think for women, there were some initial gains that were stripped away. And so then it's 100 years or more later.
Mm.
Before there starts to be a ramp up to like universal suffrage and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Abigail is not a modern feminist. I mean, it would be a mistake to see her as an 18th century Gloria Steinem or something like that.
All right.
But on the other hand, she is a woman ahead of her time. She's very bright. She's educated. She's well-read, certainly compared to any other woman of the day.
Mm.
And I think she sees a future, and that future is with women participating in this polity.
Yeah, I'd be curious if she ever had a daughter. We know what that relationship would have been. Yeah.
Well, she did have a daughter, her daughter, she died very tragically as an adult. I mean, so that she did raise her daughter, and she was very keenly interested in her daughter's education,
making
sure that she got an education as well. We all know that John took a tremendous interest in John Quincy's education.
Yeah.
I mean, in the details of it.
But
girls didn't get that same level of attention. But Abigail was a real proponent of education, both for her daughter but also for other people who were often left out, like African-American children who didn't often get just basic primers on how to read and write and that kind of thing. She's on record of having supported a couple of people in that situation.
Okay.
So I think she's a leader in her own right, and that's why I'm proud that the Adams Presidential Center is not just about the men, but we too remember the ladies.
Yeah. But these are stories that we don't normally hear.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely. They're great stories.
Tell me about the National Civics Bee.
National Civics Bee is something we are the, we meaning the Adams Presidential Center, are the host of the Massachusetts state finals.
Okay.
And so the Civics Bee is just like it sounds, it's like a spelling bee, but it's about civics instead of instead of language. So people write essays, the students write essays, and we have a distinguished panel of judges that will come together and look at those, and there'll be a final a finals here in Massachusetts, and then those winners will go on to a national bee that is sponsored in Washington, D.C. This is sponsored by primarily by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And so it's something that's getting some national traction. I mean, we're proud to be a part of that this year and be the host for the Massachusetts. It's a, you know, it's a small contribution, I guess, on our part, but we just feel like it's important to contribute to the larger quest of a lot of organizations to augment the quality of civics education and understanding among students.
So middle schoolers from around the state would be participating.
Yeah, they can go on and you know there's. It's a competition,
yes.
You know. So there's essays and things that need to be written, and So it's an opportunity to show your stuff.
Okay, and what's the prize? Bragging rights?
Yeah. Well, yes. In terms of the, I believe there are some small prizes, but then when you get to the national level, there are some fairly significant.
Is that right?
Yeah. If you win the nationals, it's like scholarship level. Serious. It's worth your while.
Okay, all right. The state finals are Thursday, June 11th at the JFK Library, right up the street here.
Yeah. They're going to host that with us or allow us to be the venue there. So
very
that's
good.
Wonderful.
Excellent.
To partner with them.
In Pursuit, the essays of John and Abigail. Yeah,
this is another important part of America 250. This is sponsored by, so the In Pursuit project is, there's an organization called More Perfect. Based in the D.C. area, and there's a collaboration of a whole bunch of presidential libraries and sites, but also other civics education organizations, and they've come together and they're putting together this In Pursuit is a series of essays about every president and every first lady. And so, for example, we have Danielle Allen wrote the one about John Adams. Renowned historian Joseph Ellis wrote the one about Abigail.
Okay.
Those are coming out, or out. And then George Bush wrote the one about George Washington, for example. So they've had some, you know, I mean, these are significant. Lindsay Chavinsky's writing the one about, she's the head of the library at Mount Vernon, but also written a couple of really good books about John Adams. Mm. Currently writing a book about John Quincy. So she's writing the entry about John Quincy. So they've got some very top flight historians and leaders like Mr. Bush and others who are contributing to this. So this In Pursuit program is a way for citizens across the country to learn a little something about every president and first lady from the beginning. So it's a really great way to mark 250 and say, here we are 250 years in. Here's all our presidents, here's all our first ladies, here's what their primary contributions have been. So hopefully people will take the time to go on and look at those essays. And some of them have been narrated in a YouTube format.
Oh, okay.
And some of them are, you know, you can just read them online as well.
And do you know how they can access those, doctors?
Maybe through the if you just type in Pursuit, the More Perfect website, I don't have that URL right in my head, but it's easy to find.
Okay, so it's all online though for
right. No, these are all online. Yeah, you could probably even look for that in YouTube. President, I've seen President Bush's entry, and he narrates it on
no
YouTube.
Kidding.
Yeah, it's really worth listening to. He talks a lot about humility and integrity and what a leader needs and why Washington represented that. And Danielle Allen's piece on Adams is equally inspiring. These are great essays, and again, some of the top folks in the country putting them together.
Sure. You mentioned a little earlier about fundraising and grant opportunities.
Yeah.
The Adams Presidential Center is a nonprofit 501c3
Absolutely.
Corporation.
Yep.
There's a board, right?
Yep.
That oversees it. Mm-hmm. How is the fundraising effort going?
Well, you know, this is something we're really getting kicked off right now. We're putting a fundraising plan together with a major strategy and to support these very programs that we're talking about. You know, we don't want to just do a teacher institute that has grant funding for a couple of years and then it just kind of fizzles. You know, we want to get people excited about what we're doing in the long run. So we need to start, you know, we're going to be sending out mailers and different things to get people to understand that annual fund giving, you know, even small donations and locally here, businesses and individuals. So if any of your folks are watching, you know, when you go on to the Adams Presidential website, there is a donate button there, and you can click on there, and no amount is too small to be appreciated. So we definitely, you know, we're out there in the space where I think we're doing great work. We're bringing a lot of limelight back to Quincy. That's our goal. And so I hope that the community and the businesses here and the citizens will be supportive of that.
Sure. Is there anything else you'd like the folks here in Quincy or anywhere to know about the Adams Presidential Center?
Well, I mean, I think that we are in a unique time and place as a nation and as a people. And as we celebrate 250 years, I think back, you know, I was obviously, we were all much younger in 1976, and I do have memories of that as a kid, you know, the fireworks and the tall ships and the parades and all those kinds of things. And
right?
It was the bicentennial in 1976 was a chance in the aftermath of Watergate and Vietnam and I mean the civil rights protests. We had been through a rough patch as a nation, and I think it was important to have the kind of celebration that reminded us that we really are a good people. We really are a positive people. And I think that 50 years later, what excites me about doing this work with the Adams Presidential Center right now is that it's not enough to have a firework display and a parade and look at some ships and think, oh, we're good people, we can do this. We need to remind ourselves even why we're a people. We need to remind ourselves going back to the very beginning, and that's why this revolutionary period is so important, that we're not held together by the kinds of bonds that hold other nations together. We're not held together by a common race or a common ethnicity or a common religion or even a common language, frankly. We're held together by a common belief in a set of principles. And those principles were first articulated by that revolutionary generation and by John Adams specifically, that when you look at the words in the Declaration of Independence and you look at the preamble to the Constitution, and of course, John Adams is behind both of those. I mean, Jefferson gets credit for his his great rhetorical flourish with the Declaration. Of course, Madison gets the credit for the Constitution. But the fact is, Adams was the foundation on which both those documents were built. It's important to look at those two documents. I mean, if there is such a thing as an American creed, that we the people hold these truths to be self-evident, and that we are invested in the well-being of ordinary people, that we have ordained a document, that we have empowered a structure that we are part of, that we own, that we can't just think, oh, that belongs to somebody else. We leave it up to the politicians or to the wealthy or whomever you think is in charge of the world. That's not true. We as citizens have to activate. We have to be a part of the system. We are a part of the system. And I think to remind ourselves that we are a people and we're held together by an ideology, by a belief that this experiment is worth doing and having, worth completing. It's, you know, to be a citizen is not a passive state. You know, there's an activity that's involved in that. There's a call to action implicit in the seeds of citizenship that we are busily sowing. So I hope that people will respond to that message. I think our timing couldn't be better. I think people understand that we're not in a good place as a nation and that we can do better. And I hope the Adams Presidential Center will play a big part in helping us do better.
Doctor, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
Great to have you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano, and we'll see you next time.